This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Transformed. In these lessons, Rick uncovers key principles found in God's Word that will completely transform our lives from the inside out in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. Now, before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Get Closer to God.
Now our verse, which is our theme for this next 7 weeks, is Romans 12, verse 2. We mentioned it last week in the introduction. Let's read it together. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And where is that found? Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you've heard me say this many times. The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change something in your life that you don't like, you don't start with your actions, and you don't even start with your feelings. You start with your thoughts. If you're acting depressed, it's because you feel depressed. And if you're feeling depressed, it's because you're thinking depressed thoughts. The key to transformation starts not in your actions, not in your behavior, not in your body. It doesn't start with your will. It starts with your thoughts. And if you can change the way you think, that'll change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, that will change the way you act. Now, we're going to take that principle, Romans 12, 2 principle, and apply it to all 7 key areas of your life: relational, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, vocational. We're going to look at all 7 major areas of your life about how do I change the way I think about this so that I feel about it differently, and then if I feel differently, then it's going to change the way I act and the way I respond to other people. And that's called transformation. Transformation changes us from emptiness to fullness. Transformation changes us from defeat and failure to faith and victory. Transformation changes us from insecurity and inferiority to courage and to boldness. It helps us become all that God wants us to be. Now, what I want to say in this first session, as we begin looking at your spiritual health, we're going to start with that, is that the further away you get from God, the more trouble you're going to have in your life. The more trials, the more difficulties, the more stress, the more things are going to go wrong because you're not cooperating with your Creator. You're not following God's plan for your life. And the Bible says the way of the unrighteous is rough. It's full of thorns. It's difficult. It's a rocky, rocky road. The further I get away from God, the more trouble I'm going to have in my life. On the other hand, the closer I get to God, the more my life is going to be transformed. Now, we can see this all through Scripture, that Paul, when he finally met Jesus Christ face to face, he was radically transformed from literally a terrorist, he was a religious terrorist, into the apostle of love, who wrote the most beautiful poem on love ever written or penned by man. Isaiah was transformed from a depressed person into a courageous person when he met God, when he got close to God. Moses got so close to God, the Bible says he was even transformed in his appearance. And people had to even look away from him. He almost like glowed. And he got so close to God, God is light, and in him is there no darkness at all. He was literally physically transformed. Now, we all want to be close to God. I mean, you wouldn't be here this weekend if you didn't want to be close to God in some way. But the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned into our own way. In other words, like sheep, we tend to wander. You don't have to teach sheep to drift off. They just do it naturally. By their very nature, they just kind of wander off, and the shepherd has to bring them back in. And they'll walk off a cliff, and sheep aren't really that bright an animal. They'll walk into a den of wolves, and in all kinds of difficult and dangerous situations, sheep tend to wander. And the Bible says, all we, you and me, like sheep, tend to go astray. We don't tend to stay close to God. We tend to wander off. And so this weekend, as we start transformation, and if I said the closer you get to God, the more you're going to be transformed, we need to talk about how do you get close to God? How do you stay close to God? And if you've fallen away from God, how do you get back in that close relationship to God? Some of you can point to a time in your life when you go, man, I remember when I was really, I felt God's presence. I was close to God. I could sense his friendship. I could sense the fellowship. And there was a joy in my life, but I've lost that. You know, it's kind of, it's like you let the air out of a balloon. How do I get back to God if I've kind of wandered away, if kind of lost the spark? Because if I'm not close to God, I don't have the power to make all the other transformations. Fortunately, we have a story in the Bible on how to get back to God and how to get close to the Father. It's one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible. Jesus told it. It's the story of the prodigal son, or sometimes it's called the story of the loving father, because it's really more about the father than it is about the son. And that story is in Luke chapter 15. Let me read you the story, and then we'll pull some principles out of it on how to transform your life spiritually. Luke 15, verses 11 to 24. Jesus told this story. A man had two sons, and the younger son told his father, "Give me my share of your estate now," instead of waiting until you die. So the father divided his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and left to live in a distant land. See, he's already getting away from the father. He's getting distant from the father. And he got as far away, basically as far away from the father as he could. He goes to a distant land, and there he squandered the gift he'd been given, and we've all done that. And he wasted his life and money on wild parties and reckless living. Now, about the time all his money ran out, a severe famine hit the land, and he began to starve because he was left with nothing. Now he's getting hungry. Now, the only job he could find was feeding swine on a farm, and he became so desperate, so hungry, that even the pig slop he was feeding the swine looked good to him. But no one would give him anything for his hunger. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "This is crazy. At my father's home, even the lowest paid workers eat well, while I'm over here far away dying of hunger." So he goes, I know what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to return home to my father and humbly say, "Father, I have sinned both against God and you, and I'm not worthy to be a part of the family or called your son. But please, just make me one of your servants who works for you." So I'm not even going to be a family member. Just hire me out as a servant. "Make me one of your servants who works for you." And with that attitude, he headed back home to his father. But while the son was still a long distance away, he hadn't got all the way back home, his father saw him coming. And filled with love and compassion, he ran out to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said, now he's got his prepared speech, "Father, I have sinned against both God and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring me the finest robe in our house and put it on him. Then get my signet ring for his finger and shoes for his feet. And then roast the calf that we've been fattening up. We're going to celebrate with a feast of eating and drinking. For this child of mine was distant and dead, but now he's back and alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And so the party began. Don't you love that story? And it tells the story of how every one of us tends to wander away from our Creator, wander away from the Father who made us, wander away from the God who loves us. This kid starts off saying, God, or Dad, or Father, I want you to give me what's rightfully mine. It's all about me. Give me my. It's a very self-centered life. And that's where we usually start in life. Give me my, God. Give me my. I want mine now. And we're, by the way, we're in a hurry. And I want it, and I want it now. And if I can't pay for it, I'll put it on credit. And so we're always in a hurry. Give me mine now. And so he takes off, and he packs up, and he heads off for Sunset Strip in Jerusalem. And there he wastes his money and his time and his energy on wine, women, and song, particularly women. And he really gets messed up, and he hits the skids, and he becomes homeless. And then on top of that, the nation goes into a national recession because there's a famine in the land. And now nobody has anything to eat, so nobody's going to give a panhandler or a street guy anything to eat because they don't have anything to eat. And then he can't even find a job. Things go from bad to worse. And finally finds a farm where he hires himself out to do the worst job on the farm, slopping pigs. Now, for a Jew, that's not a good thing. That's not kosher, because you're not even supposed to touch a pig, okay? You're not even supposed to have anything to do with pork. He gets the worst job a Jewish kid could get, slopping pigs. And he gets so hungry, and he gets so desperate, he's going, man, this stuff looks good. You got to be serious, seriously desperate if you think pig slop looks good. And it says nobody gave him anything. And then it says he wises up, and it says he came to his senses, and he goes, shoot, the servants, the poorest paid guys in my dad's employment eat better than this. What in the world am I doing? Now, he knows he doesn't deserve his father's love. He knows he doesn't deserve. He's just wasted half of his dad's inheritance, all that his dad spent his entire life working to earn. And so he goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go home and ask God to, or ask the father to just accept me back in the family. I'm just going to go home and say, look, hire me. I'd rather be a servant in your house than be over here in a distant country starving to death. And you know the rest of the story, as we saw, the father's response. Now, from this story, we gain the four things you need to do to get back to God. Now, I don't know where you are today. You may be way, 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 way far away. Maybe you haven't been in church in years and years and years. Or maybe you are a little bit closer. Or maybe you're a little bit closer. But maybe even you've just been distant for a week. And you've had one of those weeks, and you just thought, you know, I really don't feel God's presence in my life. And yet we all long to be close to God. How do I get back to Him? You do these four things, okay? Write them down. This is the pathway back to spiritual transformation. Number one, I get fed up. That's the first. I get fed up with my life. I get fed up with my circumstance. I get fed up with the way I've been living. I just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am not going to live this way anymore. I am too stressed out. I'm too lonely. I'm too depressed. I am overworked and busy, and I don't even like myself. Why would anybody like me? I don't even like me. I don't like the life I'm living right now. Now, let me just say this. Nothing is going to happen in your life in the next 7 weeks until first you get dissatisfied with the way you are. If you think, man, it's fine. I'm just fine. I don't need any change in my life. Then you know what? You can sit out the next 7 weeks. Because nothing's going to happen in your life until you decide, I don't like this. I'm tired of being stressed out all the time. I'm tired of being frustrated all the time. I'm tired of being overworked all the time. I'm tired of feeling distant from God. You got to get desperate. You got to get hungry. You got to get anxious for change. Nothing happens until you get fed up. In that passage in Scripture, it says this: he wasted it all. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry, and he finally came to his senses. And that's where transformation starts. Are you there yet? If not, it's okay. God will just leave, let you stay there. And he'll allow a little rain in your life. And if that doesn't work, he'll allow a little bit more in your life. And if that doesn't work, he'll send a storm. Why? Because God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He will not let you waste your life. And when God, wants to come and get our attention, he comes and he knocks on the door. And if we ignore it, he just knocks on the door again. And then if we ignore it, he knocks on the door again. And if we ignore it, he blows the door down. Some of you have had the door blown down in your life. And you lost your job. Or you lost your marriage. Or you lost a friend. You lost something. Why? Because God does everything he does in your life out of love. He does not want you to miss him, and he does not want you to waste your life. It's, you know, the old phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can salt his oats, make him thirsty. God often makes you thirsty by putting salt in your oats. And when you start saying, I'm just so unsatisfied with my life. I just don't like the way I'm living. I don't like this. Hello, that's God knocking on your door.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick is going to tell you about a recent $100,000 matching grant from a very generous listener. But first, he's going to share with us how God has been using your financial gifts to help us share Christ with people around the world. Here's Rick.
Hi, friends. Would it surprise you to know that there are entire groups of people who have never heard about Jesus still in our world today? I'm talking about the small tribes of less than 100,000 people in many, many distant places who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. That means there's not a single Christian among them. There is no church. They have no Bible. There is no believer. Can you imagine that? Would you help me reach these unreached, unengaged people? You know, one of the reasons I started Daily Hope was to find partners who would help us take the hope of the good news, of the gospel, to the whole world, to the final frontier, these unreached, unengaged tribes. Jesus wants us to witness to all nations and to all people. He never made a person he didn't love. He never made a person he didn't want saved. And Jesus died so that all may be saved. But people can't follow Jesus if they've never heard about him. And they've never heard of God's grace. How can they receive it? So I'm asking you to help me in this Finishing the Task project. Thank you for your support. You know, Daily Hope is now reaching over 34 million people each month through Daily Hope audio teachings and our email devotionals. But we're only able to do this because of your partnership with Daily Hope. We're working together to help us fulfill the Great Commission. Imagine when you get to heaven, somebody comes up to you and says, I just want to thank you. I'm here because you cared enough for someone like me. You prayed and you gave and you shared and you sacrificed, and I'm in heaven because of you. Will that be worth it? Even as we rejoice in the success, we need to remember that there's still billions of people who need to know Jesus. And we got to keep going. So I'm asking you prayerfully to consider giving the biggest gift you've ever given or that you can give before the end of this year.
As I said, there are still about 3,000 unreached people groups that have either few or no believers in them. We've been able to reach about 600 of those tribes, making sure there's a Christian living among them who speaks their language and can help them understand the Bible. But that's just the first step. The truth is, an unreached people group isn't considered reached until it has a healthy church, a body of Christ that's able to plant new churches within that group. So to help that happen, we're working on translating spiritual growth tools into about 200 new languages for people who have virtually no Christian resources available. Think of all the Christian books you could buy at Christmas this year. Or think of all the books you could pass on at birthdays. These are so available in English, but we need to translate them in all the other languages. These translations are strategic. That we've selected ones to share the gospel and to help disciple new believers where it is most needed right now. Now, these resources are also going to help young pastors grow and train others to build the church in their nations and in their groups. Now, we made a lot of good progress, but we got a lot of work ahead of us in this task, and it is a monumental vision. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. It's a timely vision. It's a global vision, but every vision, listen, requires provision. Honestly, we wouldn't be able to do any of this vision without you. And that's why I cannot fully express how much I appreciate your financial support of Daily Hope. You know, I don't take a salary in this. This is all a ministry of love. And all of these funds are going to help reach more people. Now, let me give you some exciting news. A generous friend of Daily Hope has offered a $100,000 matching grant so that any gift you give by December 31st this year will be doubled up to $100,000. That means every dollar you give to Daily Hope between now and the end of the year will be doubled. Would you please prayerfully consider how you can give today, how you can reach more people for Jesus in the coming year? And please, while you're at it, pray that I will faithfully teach God's word in a way that will penetrate hearts. Pray for our Daily Hope team as they coordinate our outreach. And most of all, pray for the people we're trying to reach, that their hearts will be prepared to hear the message of the good news of Christ, and that they will come to know the grace of God and grow and mature in their Christian faith. You have a part of the most important task in history. Now, my prayer for you is that God's going to bless you throughout this coming year, and that he will bless you so much that you can be a blessing to others. You know, we're blessed to be a blessing. And my prayer is that he will draw you closer and closer to him. God bless you.
Remember, as Rick just shared, whatever you give today will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. Anything not matched will be lost. So please contact us today. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to have your gift matched up to $100,000, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.